Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com. Back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. These days we're continuing our study in the Psalms. We've got to Psalm 53, and it's a very short psalm, so since I started it before we went to our break there, and being a long break, and quite a one of my favorite psalms, like I said, but short and sweet, and to the point. And, well, I don't know if one of my favorite, maybe one of the most notorious of Psalms, because it's so often quoted, or at least parts of it. It says, "There are none that doeth good, no, not one." And, I think about when our Heavenly Father, when He looks down upon the nation that I live in today, that this Psalm would be very fitting upon the nation as a whole. That He would look down. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. So, from this I would say that yes, He is looking for us. He is looking for those that seek Him. But what does He see? It says, every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, if you were looking down at the culture, that's what it would look like. If you take the culture as a whole, they have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread. They have not called upon God. So he acknowledges that even in the midst of all these people that don't seek God, there are his people who are being eaten up by the workers of iniquity. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? And you see the persecution of those that are serving the Heavenly Father, how they're being destroyed by the workers of iniquity. Yes, these people are workers. They get paid. Their job is to destroy people's lives, seemingly. Of course, their job description would be child protective services, or prosecuting attorneys, things like that. Of course, criminal justice system. All these titles sound good, but what are they doing? At the same time, they're punishing people that are doing good. The scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says there, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers," and we have there from our good friend Paul, a treatise on what government is supposed to be. and government being what it's supposed to be, that how we are supposed to be toward a government when it is in its proper role according to the law of God. That's what's there. But that's not what we have. We see the workers of iniquity. And the question is, have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? That's interesting. They make their bread. They become richer by destroying the lives of good people. So they're hunting for people lives to destroy. And a lot of good people get caught up in a system that is only supposed to punish evildoers, because it says that the civil authority is there to punish evildoers. And if they're doing, if that's what they're doing, fine. But when they punish good people to eat them up like bread, you know, basically for money, then they have turned against what the Heavenly Father has called civil government for. And it says, who eat up my people as they eat bread, they have not called upon God. There were they in great fear where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee, and hath put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. And there is a day coming when all those who practice iniquity, all those who have persecuted the people of God, be they the righteous of Israel or the righteous of his people today, and they will all be punished. And we will be brought back out of whatever captivity they have put us in. Chapter 54, verse 1. To the chief musician on Neginoth, okay, properly an instrumental music, okay, by implication stringed instrument, by extension a poem set to music, specifically an epigram, stringed instrument, okay, we get the idea. Neginoth, another word which the translators decided not to translate, but just to phonetically bring it forth. Neginoth. And so I read the translation for you. And I guess, I don't know why the translators did that, why they just did not translate these words for us, but just left it there. These words, they have one word that describes the psalm, what type of instrument, a music, a poem, set to music, things like that. But they did it for whatever reason. And it also says, Neginoth Maskil. So a didactic poem, instructive, a psalm of David. When Ziphims came, and who was Ziphims? Ziphi. Let's see, inhabitant of Ziph, a Ziphite. Okay, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? And so, and you see, many of the psalms came out of the times of David's great trials, and some of them, a lot of them, before he sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, before that great sin, he had many trials with Saul, the king that was before him, before he became king. And I believe that the Heavenly Father used these trials to shape David into the king that he wanted him to be. However, like I said, after he became king, and he was king for a good while, then he fell into that lust and allowed his instincts to take over and overrule his right thoughts. And, you know, there's a good warning for us all. All of us men that have been following our Heavenly Father even for a while, we can't let it slip. That's right. We cannot let it slip. We must be steadfast. We can't just let a little sin in. We can't just do it once. It takes over our lives. We can lose our way easily, and we should not tempt God in such a way, as David tempted him. To see how fast and how hard he fell, how blinded he became. I mean, should not, you know, if I come into that situation, a situation like that, I just pray to God, no, never. Never will I commit adultery. Never will I touch another man's wife. Never. I am afraid of what would happen to me. I have the example of David. Do I want to bring that kind of tribulation and trial on my family to the third and fourth generation? Because yes, when David did that, he hated God at that moment because he was breaking his commandments, even though he had a heart after God and he repented. Still, the consequences for his sin was terrible. What would we think if God said, oh, okay, well, you know, it's David. We'll let him get away with it. No. Praise God. Thank God he didn't let him get away with it. And that's what David would say. Thank you for not letting me get away with this. Thank you for punishing me for my iniquity. Because look what I would have become had I continued in it. If I could get away with it and there were no consequences, would I not continue? So there are consequences in our flesh as well as eternal consequences if we do not repent. And there are definitely consequences for those who live by our example if our example is bad. Hear my prayer, O God, 54 verse 2. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto my enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, Yahuwah. And here he actually says the name. I will praise thy name. And it seems kind of silly, you know, we sing these songs about lifting his name up high. But we never say it. They never say it in the corporate churches. So I've learned to sing his name where they say, O Lord, where I know it's appropriate, like here, I'm gonna say his name. And if you're with me in chapter 54 or Psalm 54 verse 4, and it says, "Behold God," and it says Elohim, so I'm gonna say God there, because the 430 is Elohim, which is a word, God's in the ordinary sense, it says, and it could be a judge, a magistrate, but in context it is God Almighty. Behold, God is my helper, the Lord, and there is Adonai. You know, what we would translate, the word we have in English for Adonai today is Lord. That's right. So I'm going to say Lord. It's 136 in the Hebrew. But if we jump down here two verses later, in verse 6 it says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee, I will praise thy name. And as soon as I saw he said name, I know that he's going to say the name of the Creator. And you have it there. The 3068, the tetragramma, whatever, in the Hebrew, the 3068, the Yahuwah, the name of the Creator. He says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, Yahuwah, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all my trouble, and my eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies. Psalm 55. To the chief musician on Naginoth Maskiel, a psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off, and remaineth in the wilderness. Selah. And, you know, the oppression that David felt in his situations many times is the same oppression that many feel. There are a few in prison, some in solitaire even now. Some have lost their children, their families, their houses, everything for the faith, being persecuted by them that hate them. And you feel these things. You have these emotions. There's no way to get away from them. But you know what? A heart that is true to him, a heart that practices righteousness, that hates iniquity, that repents continually, lives that lifestyle of repentance, seeking to do and live a life, and having made these great sacrifices because of their faith. Yes, they could have recanted, they could have repented, and been restored in the flesh by their enemies, but they would not, because they stand in their faith, and they cannot deny their Maker, because they fear nothing. Because the scripture says, fear not them that can kill the body. So anything less than the fear of death is not to be feared, if death is not to be feared. Not imprisonment, not the loss of things, of family, of security, of job, of country, of home, of liberty, sanity, whatever. And know that He will give you rest, because He will. He can reach you right where you're at, and He will, because He does take care of His own. Now, why, you know, this guy asked me, well, where was God for the slaves and, you know, in the 1800s before the Civil War? Well, I don't know. Where was He for the hundreds of millions that were being killed and slaughtered, persecuted, burned, and tortured by the great whore? Where was Jesus as they were burning on the cross? Where was Jesus as Stephen, the first martyr, was looking up into heaven? He was with them. That's where He was. He was with all of them who trusted in Him. And He is with them that trust in Him. And yes, they still feel the pain. Yes, they still feel the anguish. And they still have the terrible emotions. But He is with them, because He is with all of those that belong to Him, especially when the worst and the most terrible times come. He is there. He will be there. He sustains them through it. He may not deliver them out of it, and He may, and He may not, but He will deliver them through it, whatever. Just like the children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went into that fiery furnace, they said, hey, if Yahuwah delivers us, and He delivers us. And if He doesn't, well, He doesn't. And whether He delivered it or not, He was there in the fire with them. In that case, He delivered them. In many more cases than that, He did not deliver them. And I'm speaking specifically of a period of Inquisition where He did not deliver a lot of people, but He was there being burned and stoned and crucified and tortured with them, suffering in prison with them. He was there comforting them and delivering them through it all. Because this life is short. Whatever we have to suffer is only temporary. As terrible as it may be, as terrible as it can be, it is only temporary. So we see, and it's okay, it's all right to lament. It's all right to cry out. And as David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? How about Tony Alamo in his cold, dark cell, being an old man, no comfort, just suffering? Who knows what they're allowing that man to suffer? He shouldn't be there. If only he had wings like a dove, then he would fly away and be at rest. He can feel these things. But Yahshua, Jesus, is there with him. And I know it's true. He's there with all those who love him. David says, oh, that I had wings. Lo, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I had would have, for, verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. So David here is talking about the betrayal, basically. That's what I get out of it. As for me, I will call upon my God, and the Lord and Yahuwah shall save me, he says by name, and Yahuwah shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. They have no changes, perhaps referring to the fact that they do not repent. They don't change. He hath put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. So now here it's talking about betrayal again. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon Yahuwah, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So you want to not be moved? You don't want to worry about it. When a time of persecution comes, when the time of severe persecution, you may have to suffer torture, even death, or the torture of your family, your loved ones, your wife, your children. You want to not be moved? It says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So if you don't want to be moved, then you need to practice righteousness. Because if you're practicing iniquity, if you love idolatry, you're not going to stand when the time comes to stand. And then many that don't stand, they will say, oh, well, I can't let my family suffer. For my family, I will recant. But no, you will lose not only your own soul, but you'll lose your family's soul. Don't think that you can save them by denying God. Because the race is forever. The race is just not this little short temporal thing that we call this mortal life. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Open your heart to the God. fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. We're continuing our study here in the Psalms. So we got to Psalm 55, and we're discussing verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So let us practice righteousness. Let us put on the righteousness of our Creator, and we will never be moved. Continue in verse 23, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. And so here we're talking about the consequences of forever. This is the view we have. We are not going to the pit of destruction, but those who persecute his people, they will go down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee, he says, and kind of reminds me of a judge here lately that has persecuted the Church of God, a judge in America, put a gag order on them while he broke that same order. And, he just died a young man as far as I'm concerned. I think he's younger than I am. But and I laugh, yeah, too, because his wickedness needed to be put to an end when I see what he's done to these righteous people and their families and the children in destroying the work of God. It is now he's going to stand before the real judge, and he's going to answer for his deceitfulness and for his persecutions of God's people. He will answer. And I don't believe it's going to be a very pleasant thing for him forever. Of course, let him sleep. Well, I don't know if he's going to sleep, but I know he will be resurrected in the second resurrection, because from his own mouth, he was not a righteous man. He had no regard for the God, our Creator, for our God and our Creator. So I expect we won't see him in the first resurrection, and he's over there with the rich man. You know, if you remember the story about Lazarus and the rich man, this judge is over there with the rich man awaiting the second resurrection so he can stand and give an account for all of the things that he did in this life. Yes, would not want to be him. No way. But I will trust in thee. Psalm 56. To the chief musician upon Jonath Elam Reco Kim. Okay, what does that mean? Let's see. Dove of silence of distances. The title of a ditty used for the name of its melody. Okay, well, I'm not sure I still know what that means, even though I have the Hebrew, Strong's Hebrew here to tell me what it means. Miktam, and that means a poem. And, you know, they could have just, you know, the King James translators could have just put a poem of David. That would have been nice, and I wouldn't have to look up the word, because even though I probably already looked this up during my study in Psalms, Miktam, still don't remember that it means a poem, okay, of David. When the Philistines took him in Gath, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. And in contemporary English, you would say, when I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. So he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God, I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast them down, the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. They are not, are they not in thy book? So David here exclaiming that our Creator, our God, records every one of our tears. How about that? Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. In God will I praise His word. In God will I praise His word. In Yahuwah will I praise His word. So first he says, he repeats it here. He says, in God, Elohim, in the Hebrew, will I praise His word. And he says, in His name, in Yahuwah, will I praise His word. We're at Psalm 56, verse 10 there. In verse 11, he says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalm 57. To the chief musician Al-Tashkayef. There we go, another Hebrew word not translated. That means thou must not destroy. Why didn't they translate that? I don't know. Thou must not destroy. Probably the opening words of a popular song. And speculates our good friend Strong's. But Al-Tashkayef, Miktam, which means a poem of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. And in the shadow of his wings, in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, is my hiding place. I think about that a lot. You know, as I'm out there traveling by automobile in the world, of course, because I refuse to I've repented of a part in the Mark of the Beast monetary system and have repented of any use or participation in their socialist security scheme. I cannot, like a dog, go back to its vomit, because when you repent of something, if you turn back to it, you're like a dog going back to his vomit. So I can't go back to it, and which means that I can't have the privileges of being out there in the world without being harassed by the policy enforcers of their monetary system, because that's what they are. They're the police or policy enforcers. They police for their own people who have signed up, but because most people have abdicated their liberty and have willingly and voluntarily given up their freedom, their God-given liberty, for privilege, and most of them done it ignorantly or because they don't want to be inconvenienced by the policy enforcers, the police will now think everyone has to be a volunteer, and if you're not a volunteer, then they're going to persecute you, steal your vehicle, your automobile, and throw you in jail, perhaps, or at least leave you on the side of the road. That's been my experience. Had an automobile taken from me, been left on the side of the road. So now, and I've grown a lot since that happened, and I've learned to make the shadow of his wings my refuge, so that I can hide in plain sight, that he hides me in the cleft of the rock, and he is the rock, so that I can travel as I need to without fear. And you know what? If perchance the policy enforcers do stop me, then I know it's of him, because I have put on his righteousness, and I walk in his kingdom, and I desire to live a life that's only pleasing to him. I keep his commandments because I love him. So I know that he does hide me in plain sight. The policy enforcers are all around me. And when I see them, they're usually busy. Yes, they are. Or they're not paying any attention to me. Or sometimes I've learned how to... I know the mind of men, and I know how their minds work. I know that if they're coming up behind me to, say, a traffic light, if I get in the longer line, they'll go by me, because, and they'll ignore me, because I'm hiding in plain sight. I'm in the cleft of the rock. I'm under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty. And as I travel, I sing praises all the time. Have all praise music, and I'm worshiping Yahuwah all the way. Yes, I am. And, it's a good thing to know that I can do that, and also to have the assurance that if one of his policy does, enforcers do stop me sometime, whether to take my vehicle, whatever they do to me, that it is of him, and that I just need to obey his Holy Spirit in that instance. Perhaps I need to witness to one of the policy enforcers. I have talked to a few of them. I've been stopped and let go by some of them, and I've been stopped and had the vehicle taken and then let go by some of them. So you never know what's going to happen. So there may be a price to pay for, it may be inconvenient But obedience is my thing. And if I've repented of taking part in the Mark of the Beast monetary system, and I repented of using the Mark of the Beast number, and I can't do it anymore. I can't be like the dog returning to its vomit. I can't plow that furrow and look back, because the furrow will not be straight. You know, when the illustration about plowing a furrow, you know, you get on your tractor and you got your disc behind you, and you fix your eyes on something off in the distance. You have a target and you keep your eyes on that target. If you look back, you got to get some zigs and zags in your furrow, and you're going to see that you haven't quite gone the straight and narrow way because you keep looking back. No, you keep your eye fixed on the prize, and your furrow becomes straight, and your furrow becomes straight and narrow, and that's the way you want it. So that's the way to walk. And when you walk in that way, when you learn to walk in that way, and you just keep going, like, you know, the righteous man may fall down 7 times, but he gets back up. And the more you practice it, the better it gets, and the more assurance you have as you go along, knowing that you are under the wings, the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, hiding in the cleft of the rock, and He is our rock, because we have fallen on Him rather than allowing one day the rock to fall on us. Hallelujah. So my soul trusteth in Thee. The shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. You know, this life is full of calamities. And let the calamity, because, you know, to me it's a calamity. You ever feel it? You know, whether you got all of your licenses and you got your mark of the beast, even if you have all that, you know, and you pull up to a light and one of the policy enforcers pull up behind you, don't you feel calamity? You know, you feel it crawling up your back, you know, that sudden anxiety, that calamity. Yes, we've all felt that one. Or whether you're going fast or not, you see one of those snakes in the grass, you know, the policy enforcers. You just slow down automatically, you know. You look, make sure you're not exceeding the speed limit, because the calamity is there waiting for you. Yes. In the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. And yes, they would swallow you up. They swallow many up, don't they? And it's the reproach of them that would swallow me up. It's not the reproach of our God. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. And they got a message, just really feeling it here for those people that are suffering from over there in Folk, Arkansas, and all the families of the ministry that have been taken away and have had a gag order placed on them. All of them need to get together. All of them need to join hand in hand. And then they need to call every major media outlet there is and speak out. Say, we want to break our gag order. You could probably even get ABC, CBS, or one of those big ones. Call a half a dozen of them together and have a little, meeting or a press conference. There you go. Have a press conference and break your gag order together publicly. And what are they going to do? Throw you all in jail? No, I think you'll bring the light of truth onto the situation. You should not obey that gag order. You should get together and break it. That's biblical advice. That's what I get from reading the scripture. It says here, when it says, God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. People need to hear the truth. The gag order is to keep the truth down. It's to keep the truth from coming out. That judge is dead. He broke his own gag order. Now he's dead. He's gagged forever. It's time for God's people to stand up, regardless of the consequences. Stand up together as one. And what are they going to do? If 30 of you get together and you all have a press conference and you break the gag order to bring the light of truth onto your situation, they're going to throw you all in jail? Well, better. Because then the whole world will be watching. That's right. You should do it. Send me a plane ticket, I'll be there. Of course, I don't have a gag order, so if they throw you all in jail, they're not going to throw me in jail. But I would gladly stand with you. I wish it was on me, too, because I'd be the first one organizing the mass gag order defiance and calling a press conference. Oh, the mainstream press, it seems that they would love it. They would eat it up if you say we're all 30 of us or however many you can get together. We're here and we're breaking the gag order and we want you to report it. Call a press conference. Break that gag order. Get the attention. Get the truth. The light of truth shining on a hill. The judge says, take your light and shine it and hide it under a bushel. And you say, yes, judge? Oh, okay. No. You gotta let it shine. You gotta bring the light of truth in the situation and place it on a hill where everybody could see it. Gag. Make me gag. Okay, my soul is among lions and lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. There's another one of those beautiful psalms, praise choruses that we love to sing. Add that one to your list, Psalm 57. Psalm 58, to the chief musician, El Tashkeith. That's phonetically pronounced correct in Hebrew. El Tashkeith. Miktam, a poem of David. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. You weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth his ear, which will not hearken unto the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the teeth of the young lions, O Yahuwah. Let them melt away as waters which run continually when he blendeth his bow to shoot his arrows. Let them be as cut in pieces, as a snail which melteth. Let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Of course, talking about here, let them be as a miscarriage. Before your pots can feel thorns, he shall take them away as a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Should we rejoice when we see the vengeance of God on the unrighteous? Shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked? So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. There will be a day of rejoicing. To the chief musician, El Tashkeith, Miktam of David, when Saul sent, and they watched the house to kill him, deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the worker of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lay in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. not for my transgression, nor for my sin, Yahuwah. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake. So these are the leaders. This is the government. This is the civil authority, Heavenly Father. They're not going to punish me for my transgression. They're not going to punish me for wickedness I've done. They prepare themselves without any fault of mine. Awake to help me. And behold, thou, therefore, Yahuwah, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. And it looks like we're going to have to pick up here next time in Psalm 59. You're listening to Cross the Border. And remember, there is nothing more important in this life than that you cross the border into the kingdom of heaven. Yes, a present reality. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and live forever. As always, in everything you say and everything you do, praise His holy name. Hallelujah.
Why should the Father bother to call us His children? Why should the Spirit hear it when we pray? Why should the Father bother to be concerned with all our needs? It's all because of what the Son has done. Once we were lost out of adoption.